Welcome to this podcast of sermons at CUNA United Methodist Church.
A reading from the book of Exodus, the 20th chapter. Remember the Sabbath day and treat it as holy. 6 days you may work and do all your tasks, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. Do not do any work on it, not you, not sons or daughters, your male or female servants, your animals, or the immigrant who is living with you. Because the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and everything that is in them in 6 days, but rested on the seventh day. That is why the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. May we receive a blessing in the reading of these words of life.
So we are in a worship series called Words of Life, looking at the Ten Commandments through the eyes of Jesus. This is a series that was developed by Adam Hamilton and the folks at Church of the Resurrection, who are very generously share it with other churches. So they're the ones that made that amazing video. Today, we are going to talk about rest and reverence. This is a picture of my garden in the spring. The soil is tilled. There's some early plants. The trellises are up. The furrows are put in for the water. It is neat and it is tidy and it is easy to handle. That's April. By August, it's looking quite different. Actually, that it gets a whole lot worse than that, but I don't take pictures at that point because I'm a little demoralized, where the weeds have just gone crazy. And they actually get so big, you have to get down underneath the weeds to find the vegetables. And every year, this happens. It gets overgrown. And it's, every year, it gets a little neglected when I get a little demoralized by how well the weeds are doing. And every year, I vow to stay on top of it, and I still don't. And isn't that how life is? That there are, our lives can become overcrowded, so many things going on, and we can neglect caring for ourselves. We can neglect tending the garden of our soul. Now, I suspect I am not the only one with this struggle. Let me ask you this. How many of you have ever felt overcommitted? Or not enough hours in the day? How many of you are retired and feel like you do more now than when you were working? You see, this is a depressing thing for those of us still working. How many feel burned out or on the edge of burnout? Gallup did a poll in May of this year about burnout in the workplace, and they found that 76% of workers, three-quarters of workers, experience burnout at some point, at some time, often, or always. And that does not count what's happening at home. And when they explore the causes are unfair treatment at work, unmanageable workloads, unclear communication from managers, lack of support from manager, and unreasonable time pressures. So some of the burnout that we go through is from workplace pressure, but another part of it is our own internal lack of tending our spiritual garden. Brené Brown, who's a sociologist and researcher, said, here's a quote I once heard from a priest. If you don't want to burn out, stop living like you're on fire. She said, in today's world, we're surrounded by a culture of scarcity that tells us we're not doing enough, we don't have enough, that we are not enough. And whether we're stay-at-home parents or CEOs, burnout has become an epidemic that's even become our shtick. She said, I've learned that I always have to be on the watch for burnout because when it creeps up on me, I don't like the person I become. When we are burned out, or when we are emotionally exhausted and inside we look like that little kid, when we don't feel like there's enough hours in the day and that we can never seem to get it all done, everything in our life suffers. Our physical health suffers, our emotional health suffers, our relationships suffer. And that's true in our marriages, it's true in our parenting, it's true in our work with other people, in our relationships with friends, and it's true in our relationship with God. And this is not a new problem. Human beings have been like this for a long time. God knows this about us. And so God has a response, which we call the fourth commandment. Let's read it together. Remember the Sabbath day and treat it as holy. So let's look at the biblical context. The Hebrew people were enslaved in Egypt about 1300 BC. Ramesses II was pharaoh over Egypt, and he was doing a lot of building projects. They weren't building the pyramids, but they were doing other big building projects, and they needed a lot of bricks. And so these Hebrew slaves were tasked with making those bricks. And they worked from sun up to sundown every single day. No days off. Every single day. In fact, at that time, the truth is nobody had a day off. All poor people worked every single day. The wealthy had days off, but everybody else did not. They worked every single day. And then God delivers them from slavery and leads them across the Red Sea. And they spend about 3 months wandering in the desert. And along the way, there's not enough food for everyone. And so God provides manna from heaven. It was this white crystalline stuff that formed in the night like dew. They said it tasted like honey cakes. And every morning, God said, go out and gather enough manna for you and your family for the day, except on Friday. On Friday, gather twice as much, enough for Friday and enough for Saturday, so that Saturday could be a day of rest. God feeds them with manna. And then later, Moses goes up Mount Sinai and receives what we call the Ten Commandments. The people at that time called it the Ten Words. And the fourth commandment about rest is actually the longest of all of them. It is the very longest. Let's read the whole thing together. Remember the Sabbath day and treat it as holy. 6 days you may work and do all your tasks, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to Yahweh your God. Do not do any work on it. Your sons or daughters, your male or female servants, your animals, or the immigrant living with you. Because Yahweh made the heavens and the earth, the sea and everything in them in 6 days, but God rested on the seventh day. That is why Yahweh blessed the seventh day and made it holy. The longest of all the commandments. And this was an astounding commandment, because at this time, everybody worked every single day. This is the very first time in human history that a deity said to not work. At no other time prior to this had a deity ever said not to work, or a ruler ever said not to work. So this was the very first time. It was new and it was profound. And as you could see, the commandment wasn't only for the Hebrew people. It was for their children and their servants and the immigrants living with them. It was even for the animals. So as we've been going through these Ten Commandments, let's review. Let's say these ones together. You must have no other gods before me. Do not make an idol for yourself. Do not use the Lord your God's name as if it were of no significance. Remember the Sabbath day and treat it as holy. So we are on the fourth commandment. These commandments come before we get to the moral commandments, like about life, about killing and family responsibility and greed. First, we get this longest commandment about rest and reverence. Now, every commandment had a penalty for if it was broken, and those were outlined in other places of the Torah. Does anybody know what the commandment for, or the penalty for breaking the fourth commandment is in the Torah? Those who took the disciple Bible study last year know. So, are you forgetting? That's okay, because it's the penalty was death. The penalty for breaking the fourth commandment was death. That's pretty harsh. And we heard it over and over because the ancient people kept breaking this commandment over and over and over. Now, I don't think God wanted to punish people with death for not following this commandment. But it sure does underline how important it is. How God thought it was so essential in living and that it was not optional. It was optional for others, but for those who follow Yahweh, for Jesus followers, this is not optional. And it was, God was saying, I know how you are. You're going to go back to work. And you're going to say things like, oh, well, I like it and it makes me feel relaxed. You're going to go back to work. So perhaps God was naming less of a punishment and more of just a consequence. When we don't take time off, when we don't disconnect from work, for us today, digitally disconnect, it will kill you. You will have literal and figurative death. You will have burnout. There will be heart attacks. There will be broken relationships. I want to share with you interview with Rabbi Art Nemitov talking about this commandment.
The Sabbath is central to who we are as Jews. We operate our entire calendar around Shabbat. We work for the week, waiting for Shabbat to come, and then we sadly say goodbye to it. It is a time of renewal, a time of rest, but more importantly, it's a time of imitation of God. It says in the book of Genesis that after 6 days, God then rested on the seventh. When I rest on Shabbat, I am regenerating myself. I'm regenerating that soul that God has given me so that I can go out and do good in the world just as God does good in the world.
So what does Shabbat look like in terms of practice for you and your family and for the members of your community?
For me personally, Shabbat includes services with our community on Friday night. Shabbat begins on Friday evening at sundown. It continues till Saturday evening at sundown because it says in the book of Genesis, there was evening and there was morning the first day. So to our days begin in the evening and continue through the day. It begins with services in the evening and then it continues with a Sabbath meal with my family. And then Shabbat afternoon is a time to rest and relax. In a traditional world, it would be visiting with friends and family, no electronics, no driving, would all be very natural, doing no work of any kind. I interpret a little bit more liberally. So for me, Shabbat will include a bike ride. Shabbat will include gardening with my wife at our house. Shabbat will include perhaps going to a movie together. It's a time for me to do that which is relaxing and nourishing. It's definitely a time for family and friends. If we could, some of us would be on our phones and we'd be working 24/7. Shabbat is an opportunity to say, stop. Don't do that. You need to have this time for yourself, to regenerate your soul, to regenerate your family. And that's what the gift of Shabbat is for us.
So you heard practicing Jews celebrate Shabbat, which is a different way of saying Sabbath, same word, from Friday sundown to Saturday sundown. Christians, we celebrate Sabbath from Saturday sundown to Sunday sundown because that's when Jesus rose from the dead. That is our day to rest and reconnect with God. Another thing I noticed he was talking about, or maybe he talked about in a different interview, he talked about on the Sabbath, they don't in their prayers, they don't ask God to do anything. They said God rested on the Sabbath. On the seventh day, God created the heavens and the earth in 6 days, and on the seventh day, God rested. So on Sabbath, on Shabbat, their prayers include no petitions to God. That's an interesting prayer practice, praying without asking God anything. So we've talked about how the commandments are like safety barriers that protect us. This year we put in raised beds, and the weeds were a whole lot better. That's actually mostly pepper plants and tomato plants you see there. Those walls held out new weeds. The raised bed made the weeds so much easier to stay on top of. They were safety barriers, and that's how the commandments are for us. They're like those walls, that they are safety barriers, and they keep out the weeds. When we look at this commandment to not work, a really valid question is, what is work? What does work mean? In Jesus' time, the rabbis had 39 categories of work. And then each category had a whole bunch of subcategories. So it ended up being hundreds of individual rules. So like one of the rules was, you can't add fresh water to a vase of flowers, because that's like planting. You can't separate good fruit from bad fruit, because that's like harvesting. And yet Sabbath was so essential. The prophet Isaiah said, if you keep your feet from breaking the Sabbath and from doing as you please on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the Lord's holy day honorable, and if you honor it by not going your own way and by not doing as you please or speaking idle words, then you find joy in the Lord. And I will cause you to ride in triumph on the heights of the land and to feast on the inheritance of your father Jacob, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Now, Jesus approached Sabbath differently, and he clearly didn't care much for these hundreds of different rules, because he healed people on the Sabbath, and he petitioned God to heal on the Sabbath. And this was a major source of conflict between Jesus and the religious rulers. One time, Jesus and his disciples walked through a wheat field, and they were hungry, so they picked the wheat, and they rubbed that chaff off that hull. And the religious leaders were furious. They said, eating is okay, but you harvested, and you rubbed that hull off. And then Jesus came back with, the Sabbath was made for human beings, not human beings for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. So this commandment to rest and reverence actually may be the most challenging commandment for many of us. And it is kind of ironic that God commands us to rest and reverence, and this is the one we have the hardest time keeping. Our society rewards overwork. It rewards burnout. A friend of mine, a pastor friend of mine, said when he was a young pastor, he was meeting with a mentor and boasted about how he was working so hard for the Lord that he hadn't had a day off in 4 weeks. And the mentor said to him, okay, so you think the fourth commandment doesn't apply to you. Are there any other commandments you think don't apply to you? That one has kept me honest more than once. So we know the truth is that rest and renewal is essential for our keeping our strength, being productive, and God knows that about us. Recently, I've been using a running training app, and it has, you know, what to do each day. And there's long runs, and there's fast runs. But there's also just these easy, slow runs, and there's rest days. And in this app, they go on and on and on about how it's those easy runs and rest days are the most important, that they are essential. And to my surprise, I am discovering that this running easier is leading to longer running and faster running. Who knew? I guess God knew. People on the Oregon Trail noticed this as well. The Oregon Trail was that 2,000-mile trek, from St. Louis to Oregon. Some people stopped in Boise and said, this looks good, let's live here. But many made it all the way to Oregon. And some people, when they did that, just traveled every single day. And other people followed this commandment. And on Sundays, they would stop, not travel, have rest and reverence. And those Sabbath keepers often arrived sooner. Because that day of rest and reverence makes us stronger. It makes us more capable in those other 6 days. So Sabbath is a day of rest and reverence, of disengaging from work. It is a day of reverence, of renewal, by filling up through love of God. As we connect to the source and sustainer of all that is, it renews our soul. And that is why church is so important, that our soul is renewed by God. And notice we're using the word renewal and not recovery. That this rest and reverence is about getting ready for the coming week, not recovering from the previous week. And not only is it important for yourself, it's important for those around you. The commandment said it was for your kids and for your servants and for the immigrants. Now, probably none of us have household servants, I assume. But we do have people who serve us. When you go out to eat, you have people who serve you. When you go to the store, you have people who serve you. And the fourth commandment is for everybody to have a day of rest and renewal. And we've seen how we actually deeply feel this as some stores have been open on Thanksgiving Day, and there's been a real backlash saying people should not be asked to work on Thanksgiving Day. I think our LDS friends are pretty good at this one. And they really hold to It's Sunday, because in Utah, it is not easy to find a restaurant open on a Sunday. So God knows this about us, that we need rest. And researchers have found this as well. They have found that taking a day of rest leads to a longer life, less burnout, healthier relationships, lower stress, greater creativity, and more productivity. God knows how we are. So God gave us a commandment so that we can rest, have time for reverence, and renew our soul. So I would like you, we're going to take a few minutes for open space, and I would like you to get your phone out and think of three things that renew your soul and put it on your phone. Put it in notes or whatever. Think of three things that renew your soul and write it down on your phone. If you'd rather write on the bulletin, you're welcome to do that.
Thanks for listening. This podcast is preached almost always by our pastor, Reverend Mia Crossway. CUNA United Methodist Church is a community on a mission to make disciples for the transformation of the world. To support this podcast and the missional priorities of this church, go to cunaumc.org and click on Give. Any amount helps. And if you're kind enough to share your contact information with us, we'll continually send you things.